Radcast is made possible by Watterson Family Dentistry in Jackson, Michigan. Watterson Dentistry, the reason I can eat steak. Hello, it's Radcast, January 1st, 2015, our date. Welcome to the first full month of summer. I know summer doesn't start for a few days, but we're going to call it summer because it feels like that. I'm also going to tell you that we've got 141 days until Back to the Future Day, which happens to be October 21st, 2015. We're simply biding our time until hoverboards, perfect weather, and the automatic laces and stuff. 141 days. This is Radcast. My name is Adam Davidson. I throw the R in front, as in R. Adam Davidson, and here's why. When I started doing radio a long time ago, there was another guy named Adam Davidson in radio, far more successful, far more well-known, far more professional and polished. He worked for a little company, a little outfit called NPR. I guess they have a few stations in Oklahoma or something. And this other Adam Davidson was a brilliant financial analyst. See, I don't even know what words are. So clearly he was much better than I was. But the one thing that made us similar is he's a bald guy with glasses, whereas my look, on the other hand, is a bald guy with glasses. And so you have two Adam Davidsons in radio, so I kept the R. Also, just as an homage to my first name, which is a word that starts with the letter R. When I was in college, a friend of mine asked if the R stood for reverend, and I said, oh, no, not yet, like that. Thanks for listening. Oh, by the way, you can subscribe to Radcast if you go to iTunes and look up either R. Adam Davidson or Radcast. And there are some other hooligans over there who are doing their Radcast as well. All fine broadcasts that are probably kept up to date far more often than this Radcast is. But I do encourage you to subscribe because I worked really hard to figure out how to get my blog to do it. And if I can get as many people to subscribe to my Radcast on iTunes as I have reading my blog regularly, to know that over six of you will actually be listening to these recordings is just wonderful. So thanks. I was sick last week. I had basically a sinus infection that turned into bronchitis, and I coughed last Sunday, not yesterday, but the week before, and somebody said, ah, you're getting sick. And I figured he was either a prophet or a doctor out to make a profit. Nonetheless, he was correct. I was starting to get sick. And I was, as one friend would say it back to me, between the quills, day and nigh. And it just wasn't going away, so I went to see the doctor. They gave me this medicine called Biaxin. Now, I know that HIPAA regulations probably stipulate that I shouldn't even be sharing the medications that I receive, but with Affordable Care Act or whatever, it doesn't even matter anymore. So they gave me this this drug with a street name, Biaxin. Clarithromycin is its official name, and that usually knocks it out 24, 48 hours. It's a miracle drug. This time, however, that did not happen. I still had the sore throat, the headache, the bronchitis stuff, and all of that, and something wasn't right. So I was at church yesterday, and a lot of people who pay attention to my neck regularly noticed that my neck was more swollen than usual. And they said, Adam, your neck is swollen. And I said, well, that's from all the food. And they said, no, it's more swollen than that. So I went to the doctor again yesterday afternoon, same place, urgent care, because urgent care, gotta love it. And they said, it's probably a viral thing. It's going to take another week or two to clear out. So I guess technically I'm still ill. And I guess that technically I probably shouldn't be around anyone ever at any time, which is why I'm down in my cave right now, breathing on no one else but myself. He said it's going to take a few weeks, but the doctor said, I can give you another medication that will help. And I said, do tell. And he said, I'm going to give you a steroid. And I said, do I really need steroids? And he said, no, I don't want you to become the Hulk. And then he laughed and I laughed. It was a good laugh. That laugh will cost me about $38. He then said, no, I want to give you the steroid to get the swelling down in your neck, because your nodes, your throat's all swollen. It's not good. We got to take care of that. So he gave me a shot, not into the veins, but into the mouthy works, of a swallowing kind of liquid Decadron, I think is what it's called. And another friend of mine pointed out that Deca means 10, DR is doctor, and ON is on. So that's like having 10 doctors on your back. It was not pleasant at all. It didn't taste good, I will tell you that much. But it's not for the taste, it's for the healing. So I got the steroid, and I said to the nurse who administered it to me, I said, what is this going to do? What are the apparent side effects of a drug like this? And she said, well, you're going to feel a lot better tomorrow. But today, you're going to feel a lot more energetic. And I said, cool, that sounds fun. So I went home after getting the Decadron, and I immediately just, I don't know if it was the placebo effect or what, but I just felt like I had the strength of 10 doctors, I guess, Decadron. And so I said to the boys, let's wrestle. And so we wrestled in the living room, and then I ran around the house, and I was all crazy, and it was awesome. Now, the problem is it kept me awake until after 1 in the morning. She said, the nurse said that might happen, that it might keep me, like, from sleeping. Because steroids, you know, it's the roids, right? So, stare, not him, it's the roids. They get you all fired up. So, last night, I knew I couldn't sleep. Normally, I go to bed a lot earlier than 1 in the morning, let's just say that. But at about midnight, I was, like, Hulk hungry. And I knew that we had steaks, cheap steaks marinating in the kitchen. That's the greatest way to do steak. You get the cheap ones and you just marinate all the cheapness out of it. It works really well for our house. So I fired up the grill at midnight. Of course I did. I was hungry. I wanted food. So I grilled a steak at midnight. It was awesome. Out there in the backyard in the dark, taking a wild guess at what color the steak was, watching the flames kiss what would be my most delightful meal of the weekend, and the first real meal I've had in a while. It was awesome. Then the train flew by at the tracks that we can kind of see from our high. It was beautiful. And it was cold. It was great big guy weather. It was a win-win situation. So the Decadron plus the other meds plus the great jokes from the doctor plus the steak plus the cheesy potatoes that my mother-in-law made. Another awesome thing I don't have time to go into right now. It was healing. It was like a healing rain of many things. Many things indeed. Ah, music from Switchfoot. Pfft, why not?
2, 3, 4.
If you're like me, you thought that your left headphone stopped working for a second. It didn't. That was just what we call in the business a bumper. And let me tell you a little bit about these bumpers. I have a couple rules. Number one, it is not a polished and produced thing that's happening right now. Quite the contrary. Down here in my cave, I have a lot of CDs. And I reach over and randomly get a stack of 3 or 4 CDs. And I have a rather wide and kind of lame collection of music. And so I get these 4 CDs and I just say, doesn't matter what it's going to be. I don't care who it is. This is not going through editing. This is real and raw and rad. And I'm just going to play whatever. And I'm going to play it in intervals to help you have a little rest from my voice that just goes on and on and on. I'm told it gets boring sometimes, but that's fine. All right. So Emily and I, Emily watches more video than I do. Like, she watches movies. Like, she's a movie person and a TV show person, which is good. Most people are. I'm really not. I have to work hard to watch TV shows. I like to read and make podcasts. And so, but I know that I need to pay attention to what's happening in the movie world, so, or the TV show world, whatever. So I said, Emily, what should we watch? And she said, we should watch Daredevil. It's on Netflix. Now, I'm not recommending this for everybody. I don't think it's for all ages. It's probably a little too much for some people, especially the kids. But she says it's really deep and it's raw. And that's the second time I've used that phrase today. That Daredevil, you know, he's this superhero, but he's fallible. He gets hurt. It's not like when Captain America does something and, you know, instead of resting his broken leg, he brushes off his dust. He's like super, well, he's a superhero, but Daredevil, not so super. So I watched season 1, episode 1 with her a few days ago because I had that kind of time because I was down. And then last night we watched season 1, episode 2. It ends with, the last two episodes both have talked about human trafficking, which is the evil and dubious practice of basically putting people into modern human slavery around the world, including here in the United States, including here in Southwest Michigan where I live, and people are forced to do things like work at restaurants and work at nail salons, but it gets much, much worse, as you can imagine, people of all ages and genders. So I watched it, and it was talking about human trafficking, and it featured this little kid that had been kidnapped, and Daredevil comes and saves him. But there's something about seeing human trafficking dramatized as something that happens in our world, in the United States today, that really tore me up. Like, it immobilized me. It was too much to watch. Like, that this thing really happened. Because first of all, I know it didn't really happen because it was on the show, but it really happens in our world. And first, it was just the identity of, like, what if that happened to my kids? What in the world would I do? I just can't even, it's too much to think about. It's emotional and mental overload. But then you sort of transfer beyond yourself, and I was starting to think, this actually happens. And what in the world are we going to do to stop this, to stop this atrocity? Because if there's no cork on the evil in the bottle, evil's going to get out. This connects with something that I put up on my Facebook page last week that actually got a little bit more traction than usual. I figured Ed would like it, and then we'd all move on. But as a matter of fact, a few people got involved with this conversation that I started on my Facebook page, and it was a conversation about the end times. Eschatology is the big word for it, the study of the end times. What has God revealed to us about what will happen at the end of this world? And B.T. Roberts, the founder of Free Methodism, had a really great perspective, I think, on end times. A guy named Dr. Howard Snyder wrote an article about B.T. Roberts and sort of revealed and expanded upon his views. I thought it was great. B.T. Roberts, the founder of Free Methodism, basically said, we know what we know in Scripture, and we know that there's a lot of symbolism, imagery, allegory. We're not 100% sure of how this all ends. The revelation of Jesus Christ is not only the book of Revelation, but the whole collection of Scripture. And Roberts says, let's worry about letting God unveil his plan as he does at the end, but let us also worry about what God's kingdom is doing here and now. That sometimes, especially in the last 200 years, the pendulum has swung far for some parts of Christianity where people are so focused and so excited about the return of Christ that subconsciously or even consciously, they start to dismiss all the issues around them and say, well, it'll all get taken care of in the end, which sometimes is exactly what we need to remember. That it will be taken care of at the end, that Jesus wins. He is victorious. He is supreme. He will return, bringing a new heavens and a new earth. But he hasn't done that yet. And nowhere in the Scripture are we left the room to lounge around till he comes. That instead, we are to be a part of his kingdom movement today. So I think Roberts and Dr. Snyder I felt like I was harmonizing with the whole thing, just saying, let us have our hope in the eternity of heaven, but let us also stay fully engaged with the work of spreading the kingdom of God here and now. And I think that thought progression that's kind of been in my mind this weekend came to light as I was watching this episode of Daredevil, just to bring it back around. And it's that there's two views when it comes to evils like human trafficking and other bad stuff that happens in our world. The one view is, I'm so glad that Jesus will come back and fix this and take care of evil and take care of sin and make it all go away. The other view is, we need to do something about this now. We need to teach against this and to proclaim that Christ has come to set people free and that human slavery, human trafficking is wrong. So I would take an amalgam of those views, mix them together into one, and say, I'm going to be a part of the solution today. I don't know how. I'm going to listen to Jesus as it relates to how we can be a part of that, how I can be a part of that. But I'm also going to trust that he's got it in the end. And that really, he's allowing us, as in the church, to be a part of the solution now. And that he will finish what he's started through us. Oh, synchronicity. Here's the Police. I like that idea. One of the things I really appreciate about the band The Police is that Sting, if I remember right, leads from a bass guitar, which is very difficult to do because when you're leading, you're singing a vocal line, but when you're playing a bass guitar, you're playing other notes that have to dance with the... It's crazy. It's very difficult to lead with bass. You're better off leading with bagpipes than with bass when it comes to a band. A bagpipe-led band. Let me write that down really quick. Just write that down. Okay, bagpipe-led band. All right, now let me scribble it out because that's a bad, bad idea. All right. At this point in the Radcast, I'd like to throw us over to Psalm 138. This is going to be the text that I'll be using for Sunday. I've been thinking about this psalm for the last week, and we'll continue to do so this week. And so if you want to join me, I'm going to be in Psalm 138. That's the New International Version, 2011. You can catch it on BibleGateway.com, or just listen. I'm going to read it and then just say a couple of things, and then go on from there. This is Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. All right, two things I want to point out. One, I read this morning to the boys as we ate breakfast around the breakfast table. Lexi had already gotten on the bus and was headed out. And I said, all right, boys, as I read this, what stands out to you? Malachi said the thing that stood out to him was verse 2, which says, I will bow down toward your holy temple. And I said, so what's interesting about that? He said, well, what do you imagine God's temple to be like? And then he began to describe it in his imagination, kind of speaking out loud. He said, you've got these bricks and there's fire on top and there's black on top. And as he was talking, I realized he was using the medium of Minecraft to describe what God's temple would look like. That was cool to me because, you know, when I realized he was doing that was when I realized that in my head, God's temple looked like a building in Minecraft. And I've seen the game. I've had 1% of the screen time that he has had with Minecraft. The dude thinks Minecraft. Our generation, our children today think Minecraft. And I think for the most part, it's okay. And if it helps them to understand something about God, that's good too. Because then Zachary, our younger son, said, well, I imagine God's temple being made out of Legos. Perfect. Do it up, man. We finally got something to do after school. Let's build that temple. I love that the psalmist says that we bow toward your holy temple, that we revere the presence of God, which was in the Old Testament a building, but is the New Testament our hearts, that we revere his presence in us. That's a big deal. We cannot forget that God is close. He is not far away. He has come to us. And that's what the later verse says in verse 6. It says, though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. That is the language of Jesus who has come to us. It is Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And then the last part of the verse of the psalm is surprising to me. The psalmist writes about how he praises God with his whole heart, how the ways of the Lord are great, how all the kings of the earth, upon realizing God's decree, should bow down, and the Lord will take care of me and vindicate me, stretch out his hand, he will preserve my life. And then the last sentence, last part of verse 8, do not abandon the work of your hands. What are the works of his hands? Well, it's creation, and really in this case, it's recreation. It's recreation of the world, recreation of human beings who know Jesus and who are being made into his likeness and image. But why would the psalmist say, don't abandon the work of your hands? That would be like me saying, Emily, I love you so much, and I love you because you're beautiful on the inside and out, and because you take such good care of us, and you're so committed, and you have such a heavy load that you carry, and I love you, and I appreciate that you do all this. Please don't stop doing it. I mean, that would be a great way to make it get really awkward all of a sudden. Don't you think? If I went through all this time of extolling her for her greatness and her faithfulness as a as a mom and how, and then at the end said, please don't stop. Like that almost reveals an insecurity. And I wonder if that's exactly what the psalmist is doing. Or maybe he's just saying, God, I know you won't abandon the works of your hands. And that might be the argument that one would make. But then my question is, well, why doesn't he say that? Why doesn't he say, please don't abandon? He says, or why doesn't he say, I know you won't abandon? He actually says, please don't abandon the work of your hands. It's interesting to me. It is okay sometimes to reveal our insecurities to God. He's fine with that. He's big enough for that. He doesn't need to be protected from raw feelings. He can handle it. That's okay. That's all right. If you find yourself saying, God, I trust you and I believe and I give you my life, and God, please don't leave me. Don't let me go down the wrong path. You're revealing that you realize this is a big deal. You're like the guy in the New Testament who said to Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Ah, Switchfoot. This is good stuff, too. Another Switchfoot play. Well, at this point in the Radcast, I was kind of hoping to have a guest, and I need to change my setup down here. I had a way to do phone calls, but it's not working right now. I'm getting a weird sound because computers are machines that that are imperfect, like me. So, and like you, probably. I mean, I don't know you, but I can guess. And deep down, you're probably not 100% perfect. Anyway, yeah, so I'm not going to be able to do that, unfortunately. But I will say this, that I do want to have guests on the show. In fact, I'll go so far as to say right now, if you just want to be on the Radcast sometime, man, just let me know. I'll get the phone thing worked out. You can call in. We'll record it, of course, and then I'll go back and edit out all your swears, and then we'll put this thing on and get our six people to listen to it. It'll be glorious. So let me know through the old website, radamdavidson.com. I'm going to end with a quote from William R. Ing as our time comes to a close. William R. Ing said this. This is something that I really appreciated. I came across this a few weeks ago. He said, quote, he who will live for others shall have great troubles, but they shall seem to him small. He who will live for himself shall have small troubles, but they shall seem to him great. So, I guess we really have two options. We can live for ourselves, or we can just get beyond ourselves, live for others, and perhaps encounter more trouble in the process, but also have lived a much better life. I'm going to go. Here's Fish. Thanks for listening to Radcast. Be sure to check it out at www.radamdavidson.com or subscribe at iTunes. And I'll do this about once a week. Don't hold me to it.